You're listening to the European Tour Race to Dubai show with Robert Lee and Richard Boxall.
Hello and welcome to the Race to Dubai show as Sergio Garcia reigns in Spain to claim victory in his own tournament, the Andalucía Valderrama Masters.
To be able to go out there under the conditions we played all week with the amount of rain we had and everything and all the stopping and going and to be able to shoot three rounds on the par, it means a lot.
The Spaniard overcame the challenge of the weather and a host of top talent, including second place Shane Lowry.
66 around here, when you're in contention, is pretty good, and I was just disappointed I didn't put a bit of pressure on Sergio. I had it to within one at one stage, but look, it's my best week of the year. I've got a great 4 weeks coming up now to finish the season.
A full review of events in stormy Spain to come, when we'll tell you who kept their cards and who has got to go back to the school. Plus, we'll preview the next event on the European Tour, and it's a big one, the WGC HSBC Champions in Shanghai. Hello, I'm Robert Lee, and today I'm joined by a former European Tour champion. Once a champion, always a champion, Richard Boxall. Never, ever let them forget it.
No, a win is a win, isn't it? Thank you very much, Robert. What do you want to ask me?
Well, how much you enjoyed the event in Spain, despite the weather?
Well, you're not going to believe this. I wasn't working on it, but I picked a week. I was supposed to go out there in June, funnily enough, down to that part of the world. And the lady I'm with, something went wrong in her business, and we couldn't go, so I cancelled it. I looked in my diary, the only week that was off was last week, but obviously I was not working it. So 3 weeks ago, I looked in my diary and went, OMG, it's the same week as all the other chaps are down there. So I witnessed the weather. I obviously didn't go to the golf. A few phone calls, a few text messages going on between me and a few of our pals from Sky and taking the mickey a little bit. But I got the full brunt of the weather. Nice villa down there. Hardly left the villa. Never saw a drop of sunshine in the 5 days. Just thunder and lightning and a lot of rain. A real lot of rain, Rob.
What about Sergio Garcia? Defending champion and having to host at the same time and all the weather problems and delays. It was quite a long week, but a successful one for him.
Yes, even though it was only the three rounds. It was excellent second round, 64. From Sergio when he eventually finished it. It's very difficult to work out exactly when he finished that. And then the 69, the last day. He won by four, Rob, but Shane Lowry got to within one of him at one point. And I thought he was going to get a little bit closer, but Lowry didn't have the best of finishes. And Sergio did his normal thing. I think he was one under for the last six or seven and didn't have to win.
Of a ball striker's golf course is Valderrama.
Massive. Oh, it's massively. You know what it's like, Robert. You've played there yourself. If you are slightly off, and there's a little bit of breeze around there, which makes it even harder, if you are slightly off your game and not hitting it right, it'll find you out. So this is the kind of golf course where ball strikers, proper ball strikers, do really well.
I remember being on the range there at Valderrama when it used to be the Volvo Masters, yeah. You know, last event of the year.
You got into that, did you?
Oh, I've got some of those practice balls, Volvo Masters, on the range.
Have you?
And speaking of the range, we're on the range and just a couple along from me, because I was thrusting them down the middle, as you can imagine. But two away from me, nearer the lake, was Nick Faldo.
Right.
And, of course, he had a bit of a horseshoe of people around him watching the Imperial striking. Old Persimmon driver at the time.
Yeah.
And one comes off the club and then goes straight left into the lake, nearly took the car that was floating on a platform out.
From him?
From him, yeah. And he just turned to the crowd and he said, "That wasn't me, that was the ball."
No.
That is what he said. He said, "That wasn't me, that was the ball.
Did you say no?
Well, they were all agog, and I could never be sure to this day if they were all agog thinking, "What a load of rubbish," or "How unlucky is that? One rogue ball in all those that he's hit down there."
I'm what not were sure you which thinking?
One it was. I was thinking, "Come over here, you're watching the wrong man."
I'll show you loads of those.
I'll show you how to get one in the lake. Don't worry about that, especially as it's down the left.
I'll show you wrong golf balls.
How difficult a golf course is it when you get onto Valderrama? You need a performance, because not only did we have players trying to win the tournament like Lowry and Garcia, we had players trying to hang on for grim death to make it through the top 116 this year.
Yes, well, it is. Top 110 to keep their car, but six affiliate members.
Could you think of a worse golf course to play hang-on golf on?
No, I couldn't. No, it's, you know, as you say, top 116 get their car. David Horsey started at that at the beginning of the week. He finished 42nd in the tournament, but that was good enough to hang on to his spot. Richie Ramsey jumped up to 115 from 124th. Justin Waters moved ever closer to missing. He went from 113 to 114, but he missed the cut. But Callum Shinquin was trying, only managed to jump three spots from 123rd to 120th.
You can take him back to the playoff Scottish Open.
I was thinking about that.
You know,
well,
18 months ago.
I know. He needed a
5
to win. He
makes a par at the last to win.
Makes a 6 and loses in the playoff to Cabrera Bayo. Unbelievable. Mark Warren Robert was another one. 144th start of the week, finished 131st, but
he was in good shape, wasn't he, going into the final round?
He was, and a three-time winner on the European Tour. You know, he does that quite a lot, Mark Warren. He has a really quiet year and then does something good towards the end, but it wasn't strong enough this year, and he's going to have to go back to all that horrible winter holiday qualifying school.
It didn't work out for him, but it certainly worked out for Gonzalo Fernández Castaño.
It did.
1-2-5 coming into the week.
Yes, he did. He ended up finishing 104th in the end. Total prize fund of 367, nearly 368,000. That's to keep your card. In fact, to keep your card, Robert, just slightly wavering, just over $320,000, which is raised to do buy points to keep your card at 116. Good advert for the tour, that, isn't it?
Yeah, I mean, depending what your expenses are, you have to assume that a lot of those players have got extra coming in with sponsorship and deals on this and that. So
yeah, well, Castaño finished in a tie for fifth with Westwood and Maximilian Kiefer at four under par to earn himself €71,500.
Let me just give you a little ready reckoner. My first year on tour, as yours was 1983.
Correct.
And then it was the top 150 who kept their card.
Yeah.
But it wasn't the same as these days, because back in those days, if you kept your card, if you were outside, if you were between 61st and 150th, you had to pre-qualify every Monday. So although you kept your card, you couldn't guarantee playing in one single event.
No.
And it was a Monday scramble, bun fight, every single Monday to try and get into the tournament. Yeah. You made the cut, you went on to the next one. I'm making a quick point here, £1,100.
Yeah.
I finished 148.
Did you? You
with £1,100.
£1,100. Well, let me give you a little...
So
4 or 5 years ago, Robert, reserve money...
Yeah.
Reserve money in Dubai was £1,495, which was... How much did you win?
£1,100. Finished 148.
£1,100. So there you are. There's the difference. £400 more for reserve money.
I made four of the first five cuts when I turned pro. I made four of the first five, you know, playing in Italy and all those early tournaments, the Martini, and then didn't make a cut for the rest of the year.
Oh, really? No, I remember that.
You know, because you're missing Mondays, and then you miss a cut, and then you miss a couple of Mondays. It was really hard to get any sort of rhythm.
I did a very silly thing.
It's going to be a long show, this, isn't it?
It is, but it's all to do with...
Richard,
it's
I
to
want
do
to hear
with women,
it.
You
well,
know.
We because you know the pain of missing your card. That's why these stories are coming out.
But in 1983 or 84 or 85. Anyway, I got engaged to a girl. I won't give any names away, but I got engaged to a girl, and it was the Monday qualifying, and she said to me, I played in a tournament, and she said, I don't see a lot of you. I'd made the cut.
Right.
She said, I don't see an awful lot of you. So I said,
that
and I'm exempt.
I'm playing well.
I'm exempt for the next tournament. So I said, I'll pull out. So I pulled out of the next tournament.
One that you got in?
One that I was exempt in.
By making the cut?
By making the cut in like the German Open or something.
You withdrew before.
I withdrew. I missed the next five Monday qualifyings on the bounce.
And let that be a lesson to you.
Yeah, and I never got the ring back either.
Never got the ring back.
No, cost me a lot. I had to win an open qualifier. I won a £500 open qualifying to pay for that.
Where does that rank in your top 10 decisions you've made in your life?
What of bad ones?
Yes,
with 10 being really bad.
Bad ones,
with 10 being bad, I'd say that's 11.
So, Sergio won. Brilliant performance. And last week on this show, it was said that the lift that Sergio got from playing the Ryder Cup, winning 3 points in the Ryder Cup, would mean that he's back. Goes to Valderrama, of course he loves. He wins.
Yeah.
Four-shot victory. He's off and running. He's in for a big 2019, Sergio Garcia.
Yes, I think he might be. He goes to show what confidence does, though, doesn't it?
Well, I'm saying yes. You're saying might be, that you're giving yourself a little bit of an out. You know, get off that fence.
Well, he might not be a brilliant 2019. I mean, it's all on the crest of a wave at the moment.
But you're not feeling it, are you? I'm saying he's going to have a great 29. I'm seeing another major for Sergio next year.
Are you?
I'm that confident.
Oh, all right, that's okay. He's moving around in his seat as well quite a lot.
Yeah, I'm sort of jumping up and down.
Well, listen, yes, it wasn't good in America. 128th he finished on their money list out there, outside the top 125. But now he's coming back here, as you say, Ryder Cup. He's won his seventh event.
He's an emotional, rides the wave, inspirational kind of a guy. That's the way he is. So
he is.
Now I think he's back on that crest.
I think he is. I better finish the last thing I was saying. He's seventh. That was his seventh win on Spanish
soil.
Turf.
Mm.
Plenty more tournaments he's won worldwide, though, obviously, of course. But no, I'll tell you what, let me agree with you. I hate doing it, but yeah, I think he will, Rob. I think he'll have a good 2019.
And Shane Lowry, a very fine tournament, finishing second. Good to see him back in Europe and playing well. And you know, when you look at Shane, he's probably a little more fleet of foot than you would think he is.
Also, Robert, when he won that Bridgestone, fantastic performance, you've got to say that, but I think Shane Lowry is one of those players who tried, who went across to America, didn't, it did work out, obviously, because he won a tournament out there, but he should stay in Europe. I think he's one of those. I think he's a very good player. I don't think he's a better player than he was before he went to...
Not everyone goes to America and gets better.
No, I don't think he is. But I think he's a fine player, obviously.
Oh, yeah, and tremendous golfer.
And he's going to be he'd be a big fish in a little sea over here, if you know what I mean. He'd win plenty of tournaments.
But fleet of foot, Richard, I thought I gave you a big clue there and you didn't go where I thought you were going
to
go.
No, I know, but I will harp back to it. When I was down there in Spain,
yeah.
Okay, I have to tell you that I drove my car down to the port down there, and it was in Decatur, wasn't it? I drove the car down, I'm sitting there, a lot of caddies
about...
That's
like about, Soto Grande Light, isn't it?
Yes, it is. Yes.
That's right.
And I'm trying to sort of hide away because I'm with these people every week and I've gone down there for a while. I just popped down for a newspaper, you see, but I'm sitting in
unshaven,
the car.
Unshaven, flat cap.
Unshaven, hair all over the place.
Oh, tousled.
Tousled shirt hanging up, and I'm sitting in the car, and then all of a sudden, whoa, thud behind me. I just looked to the right hand side, and Shane Lowry leaping over a wall down by the side of the car. He didn't see me, and a couple of his mates or a couple of caddies with him, and off he goes into the port. But I just thought, taking a bit of a risk there, you know, with a jumping off the sort of a side of a wall, we're in the position you are in the tournament. And...
But it's nice to have that confidence.
Oh, if I had a go at that, there'd be all kinds of noises.
Well, you've already broken your leg once, and that was through no fault of your own. This would have been through a fault of your own.
That was with playing with Colin Montgomery.
Something.
Things you'll do not to play with Colin Montgomery, eh?
Oh, well, the length that you'll go to.
The length.
Quite extraordinary. Social media reaction to the win. David Horsey, who finished on that spot, 1-1-6, said, well, that's a relief. Massive wake-up call. My game is far better than that. I would agree with that. It's just not come out fully yet, so tough making changes for the better and staying patient and trusting things while making them all part of the learning curve, onwards and upwards. Andrew the Beef Johnson, who does love that golf course, being a former champion there, said, always love coming back to the Valderrama Masters. Decent week, lots of positives. On to the next one in a couple of weeks' time. Shane Lowry said, nice to be back in the hunt this week. Pity about my finish, but congrats to Sergio Garcia on his win. Hashtag onwards and upwards. That seems to be a bit of a theme, doesn't it? Onwards and upwards.
Yes, well, it does, because for not for all of them, but a few of the players, that's it. That's the end of the season.
Okay, let's hear from the champion again, defending champion, Sergio Garcia.
It's amazing to be able to win here at Valderrama three times. You know, it's a dream come true. It's so difficult. This golf course is so challenging, and you know, for me to be able to go out there under the conditions we played all week with the amount of rain we had and everything and all the stopping and going, and to be able to shoot three rounds on the par, it's, you know, it means a lot. So very proud of that, and, you know, really, really excited about the week.
Your first two wins here, you won by one shot, obviously a much bigger gap this time. Was there any time you thought, yes, I've got this, or did you stay on it all the time?
No, because I knew that the guys were going to be attacking. I knew that the guys were going to be going after me, and, you know, like I said, this golf course is the kind of golf course that if you're a little bit off, it's you can struggle, but if your game is on, it gives you a lot of chances. It gives you a lot of birdie opportunities. And obviously Shane was playing well. He got close to me. He got within one or two. And then unfortunately he doubled 15. And then that gave me a little bit of an extra gap with his double, my birdie on 14. And, you know, opened it to four. And then, you know, we kept it there until the end. So that was nice.
This time last year, you dedicated your victory to Angela and your expecting daughter. Have you felt much of a change in yourself since becoming a father?
For sure, yeah. Obviously, becoming a father, it changes your life. For better, and you know, we've enjoyed every minute. Obviously, Angela and Azalea are unbelievable. They're two amazing women, and I'm very happy to have them by my side. And it was nice to be able to win it for both of them. Obviously for Angela, but also for Azalea. You know, it's her first. Without counting the Ryder Cup, is her first real win since he was born. So, you know, it makes me very proud.
Now you've heard from Sergio, Richard. You getting the feeling, you know, what I'm driving at?
Yes, I think you're right, Robert. Let's go for a very decent 2019 and a major, possibly two.
I really do think so. It's his 15th European Tour win. He's won the last three editions of this event. Seventh Tour victory, as you said, Richard, on Spanish soil, and his 33rd win worldwide. That's, God, you get into the 30s with your worldwide wins. That's pretty good, isn't it?
It is.
That's a career. That is a career.
You've sorted your pension out, haven't you?
Has he got enough, do you think?
I think
he
will.
If he stopped now, has he got enough, Sergio?
I think he'll be fine.
I think he'll be fine. Well, let's hear from Shane Lowry, who finished runner-up.
66 around here, when you're in contention, is pretty good. And I was just disappointed I didn't put a bit of pressure on Sergio. I had it to within one at one stage, and then I made double, and he made birdie. So that was kind of, that was it. But look, it's my best week of the year. Serious positives to take from it, and I've got a great 4 weeks coming up now to finish the season.
We're obviously going to see a lot more of you on the European Tour. Since the Portugal Masters, we've seen a real return to form. Do you feel a lot more comfortable over here now?
Look, I do. I always feel a lot more comfortable when I come back playing Europe. I've found it somewhat hard to go over and play in America and spend my time over there. But look, it's what I wanted to do, and I've no regrets. But yeah, nice to be back here for a while, and nice to throw a few good finishes at as well, and try and move back up the Race to Dubai and the world rankings and all that.
And rounding out the top three was Finland's Mikko Kohonen.
I've been keeping an eye on the Race to Dubai and looking who's doing well and stuff. So it's very nerve-wracking week, yeah, for many players. It's been a great year, and to play well here, that's been one of my goals this year, actually. And I've achieved that now, so I'm really, really happy.
He's a very steady Eddie type of player. Beautiful putter, Mikko.
He was in the middle of the year when he won the Shot Clock Masters, his first win on the European Tour.
No one remembers seconds, Richard, but they do at the Shot Clock Masters.
Tick-tock, Robert, tick-tock.
Tick-tock, it's all about the clock. Okay, Richard, top 10 from the Andalusia Masters hosted by the Sergio Garcia Foundation.
Okay, there was three of them tied eighth. Jason Norris, Matthew Nixon and Gavin Moynihan. They were three under for their three rounds. Then a tie for fifth, Castagno, who kept his playing rights 2019 alongside Lee Westwood and Maximilian Kiefer. Ashley Chesters, much improved player, 72 final round for him, five under par, fourth on his own. Mikko Kohonen was third, second Shane Lowry with a closing 66, and the winner Sergio Garcia by four.
Well, I'm very pleased to say that joining us on the line, it's not the winner, Sergio Garcia, but it's a person that probably feels like he's won a tournament, Gonzalo Fernández Castaño, after a great week consolidating his position on the European Tour for next year. Gonzalo, you must be delighted with the way the week went.
I am indeed. I mean, it's been a very long week because of the suspensions and all the weather we had. But in the other hand, it's a great relief. I mean, it had the feeling of qualifying school week, you know, because I mean, I know we played for only 5 days instead of six, but the pressure for me was pretty much the same. So hey, when I was walking into the tee this morning, I was thinking, hey, if I don't make it today, at least this has been a phenomenal practice if I have to go back to tour school in a couple of weeks' time. So overall, as you can imagine, I'm absolutely delighted, but and also very relieved for getting the job done. And also a little proud as well, I have to say, because I mean, I knew the pressure and everything. I mean, I this was my very last chance, and getting it done was I mean, an amazing achievement, considering especially how bad I played this year.
Gonzo, the amazing thing is, you know, with Valderrama, I've played it myself, so has Rob, many, many times. It goes to show how good your game must have been, because I reckon that's the only course on the European Tour where if you're not quite slightly on, it will really show you up.
Yeah, Richard, you're absolutely right. I mean, it's one of those courses that are really demanding on probably on every aspect of your game. You have to be sharp with your tee shots, you have to be sharp with your irons, putting has to be good. But as you know as well, I mean, when Valderrama is playing soft, and this week was playing very soft, it wasn't really showing all its teeth. But yeah, I think it's one of those courses that every shot you have, every tee shot, every approach shot, there's always something to be careful or be afraid of. So yes, I mean, it's been a lot of pressure. I played with a terrible amount of pressure, especially today. But, you know, on the other hand, it's a course I know very well. A course I'm a member at. So that played on my favor, of course. I was pretty confident at the beginning of the week. Not so much today when I teed off, but at the beginning of the week, I was feeling good. I played well last week at Walton Heath, and I had a good feeling about this one.
Were you inspired, Gonzalo, to play well? Because the thought of going back to the qualifying school again with Alvaro Quiroz in the bag was something you just wouldn't be able to put up with.
I know. I mean, I was thinking exactly that. I don't think I could cope with having Alvaro on the bag for another week. No, jokes aside, it's been a phenomenal week for me because, as I said, I mean, every time I'm in Valderrama, it feels like home to me. And not only that, I was staying with Alvaro, who, as you know, lives like 5 minutes away from the golf course with his family, who are like family to me. So overall, as I said, I felt very comfortable all week long.
So Gonzalo, what are you going to do now? You finished 104th on the race to Dubai. What are your plans? I know it's difficult, you've got family in America, but what are your plans? Are you going to play flat out on the European Tour next year?
Yes. That's an easy one, yeah. It's going to be full-time Europe. I tried in the US, as you know, for the last few years. Unfortunately, it didn't work for me. But yes, it's going to be full European Tour. And yeah, I'm going to still be living in Miami, so I guess I'll have to do a bit more traveling. But I don't think it'll be worse than this year playing both European and Web.com Tours when I've been traveling back and forth like crazy. So I'm actually looking forward to play only one tour next year. As you know, European Tour is my home tour, and I can't wait. I can't wait to be back.
So will you play between now and Christmas, Gonzalo?
That's a very good question. We need to see the schedule first. I think it's coming out at some point this week. And once it does, I'm maybe thinking about starting in Hong Kong, maybe Mauritius. Yeah, I would like to play something from here till the end of the year, but I do need a rest. And obviously, I'm looking forward to getting back to Miami and seeing the family. I've been away for the 6 of the last 7 weeks, so I do need a rest, but I think Hong Kong might be a good one to get the year going.
Gonzalo, thanks very much for spending time with us on the show. We always watch your progress. Great to see you play so well in a pressure-packed week. You're back. We're glad to have you back. We'll speak to you very soon.
Thank you. Thanks for having me, and it's great to be back.
Well, he's quite right to be chipper about that, isn't he?
He is, yeah. And I think he'll be over the moon with the way he played. You know, you say you've got to go down to Valderrama. You've got to finish pretty much in the top 10, maybe a little bit better than that, to keep your playing rights. And he's gone ahead and done it, so full credit.
Top 10, Richard, please, in the Race to Dubai rankings.
OK, your top 10 in the Race to Dubai. Russell Knox is in 10th. John Rahm's 9th. Tyrrell Hatton occupies 8th. 7th is Eddie Pepperell. 6th is Torbjørn Olesen. Alex Noren is 5th. 4th is Rory McIlroy. Patrick Reed is 3rd. Tommy Fleetwood is 2nd. And Francesco Molinari.
Now give us the other top 10, Richard. The one that counts for keeping your car. Go from 110 to 120. And that give you the people either side of the 116 mark.
OK, all right, OK, we'll do that. Top 110, keep your car. But it is 116, so Bradley Dredge was 110th. 111th was Raphael Jacquelin. Kodera from Japan, he was 112th. Zanotti was 113th. Justin Waters, 114th. 115th, Richie Ramsey. David Horsey occupied that spot, started at the beginning of the week of 116th. Then Romain Wattel, who is exempt through his win at the KLM Open last year, he finished 117th, so he's got no problems. Adrian Sadier, who was 118th. 119th was Chino Choi from Korea. And 120th, he tried very hard, didn't quite pull it off, Callum Shinquin.
And good luck to all those players that have to go back to the qualifying school to get themselves back out on tour next year. A very difficult week, but good luck to everybody who's got to do that. Now, last week's pick, Gordon Brand Jr. and myself had a crack at trying to pick the winner and someone to play well from outside last year's top 50 in the Race to Dubai. And the rules are you get 20 points for a winner, 10 for a top 5, 5 for a top 20, and minus 5 for a missed cut. Gordon went for Lee Westwood, who finished 5th. That was very good indeed. He got 10 points for that. And Bradley Dredge, 52nd. So the top 5 finish gives Gordon 10 points.
Yeah, and I'm not going to let you read out the winners because I want to do your picks.
Go on, then.
I don't want to give you the pleasure of doing it. Robert Lee, last week, luckily picked Gonzalo Fernandez Castaño, who finished tied 5th. And he picked somebody else, can't he? Oh, yes, he managed to, just by pure fluke, by putting his head on the block, he picked out Sergio Garcia. Well, it's got to be said, Robert, everybody finds a winner every now and then, don't they?
Blind squirrels and acorns. 30 points for the presenters. So we were behind, now we've gone back in front. It's presenters on 160 points. Co-presenters, that's your side of the aisle there, 150 points.
Well, it's close, Robert.
It is close, yeah.
Coming towards the end of the season.
Which puts a lot of pressure on your picks this week, by the way, at the HSBC. We'll get into that in a second.
Dear.
In the fancy Race to Dubai game, Ingmar Bergman still tops the overall global standings with nearly 36 million points, thanks to some astute picks this week, including Sergio Garcia, Shane Lowry, and Lee Westwood. Meanwhile, in the Race to Dubai show, Mini League listener Aaron Griffith is top of our league table. Other news, Challenge Tour. On the Challenge Tour, Victor Perez of France secured his 2019 European Tour card with a dramatic playoff victory over Scott Robert McIntyre at the Foshan Open in China. Several players jostled for the lead throughout the final day, but it was Perez and McIntyre who were tied after 72 holes, with the Frenchman posting a 3-under par 69 and the Scot a 7 under par 65 to finish one shot better than 20 under par. They returned to the 18th hole for a playoff, and it was Perez who emerged triumphant, holding a birdie putt after the Scot could only card a par. There was no event on the Stay Sure Tour this week, and on the PGA Tour, Brooks Koepka has become the new world number one by winning the CJ Cup at Nine Bridges in South Korea. Koepka, who was named the PGA Tour's Player of the Year, not surprising really after two major wins, earlier this month carded an 8-under par 64 on Sunday to finish on 21-under par, four shots clear of fellow American Gary Woodland. So number one, Boxy, Brooks Koepka.
Yeah, rightfully so, as you said in that little piece you were just reading there, Robert. Gary Woodland, I think Gary Woodland got to level with him with nine holes to go, and he shot, Koepka shot 29 on the back nine. I mean, 29 on the back nine, final round, two win by four. I mean, fantastic.
See, you could see the blue flame.
You could. Do you want the top 10, Rob?
Yes, please.
Okay. 10th spot, Jason Day. Ricky Fowler is 9th. John Rahm comes next at 8th. 7th is Bryson DeChambeau. Francesco Molinari is 6th. Rory McIlroy is 5th. 4th is Justin Thomas. 3rd is Justin Rose. 2nd is Dustin Johnson. And your new man at number one, Brooks Koepka.
Which brings us nicely to the next event on the European Tour, the WGC HSBC Champions at Sheshan International in China, in Shanghai. Who's playing, Richard? It will be Brooks Koepka and co.
It will. A little flavour. I'll give you Patrick Reed's playing. Francesco Molinari, the Open champion, he's playing. Justin Rose will be there. McIlroy, Tommy Fleetwood, Alex Noren, Dustin Johnson will be playing. Adam Scott is there. Who else? Eddie Pepperell's playing. Hao Tong Li from China. Be a bit of pressure on him, but he'll be worth having a watch at. Who else do you want to know? We've got some good young players who've done well this year playing. Lucas Bjerregaard, the Dane, he's playing. Matt Wallace, three-time winner this year, looking for win number four. Very good field, Rob.
Yeah, it
very
is.
Very good field.
What's the course like?
The golf course, Robert, is it's a fairly fair course, I think. It's not short, but it's quite wide on the fairways. I've always thought when I've been there that the par threes are excellent around that course. You've got a couple on the front nine that are fairly difficult. And you've got a nice risk and reward. Tough. It's a tough finishing hole. It's a par five, water all the way down the right-hand side.
Well, it's fun. The last four are fun finishes.
Yeah, they are. They're all good birdie chances. You know, 16 is a short dog leg. You can take it on. There's a pot bunker right at the back of the green, which can sometimes create a
lot
of trouble.
You can reach with 3 wood there. Those players can knock it on them with a 3 wood or knock it into the quarry.
Don't want to be going in the quarry. You go in there, you won't be coming out.
No, that's right. And then 17 par 3 with the quarry on the right
par
again.
3. Quarry on the right doesn't really come into play, but you get a bit of breeze there turning up late in the afternoon. It can get a bit iffy towards the end of the round. And then you've got the 18th, as long as if the wind's straight into you, you won't be knocking it on in two. But if you've got a slight...
If they're going
the prevailing
into it,
wind
hole.
Is sort of down off the left.
Oh, it's a fun hole.
It is, yeah. It's,
that brings us to this week's pick after you sort of, you know, you're deriding my success from last week. So I'm giving you the chance to strike back for the co-presenters.
Co-presenters strike back is my two choices are Tommy Fleetwood. I think he wants to obviously bridge that gap between him and Molinari.
Yeah,
and
good
pick
point.
Up a second race in Dubai. And Hao Tong Li. One in Dubai this season.
A lot of local support for him.
Plenty of support he'll have. He's had 7 top tens, I think. He's up to, he's up to 54th in the world rankings. And, you know, if you can get into that top 50, Rob, makes an awful difference to your how you plan your year.
Well, I'm going to counter that with...
Not an awful difference. It makes a lot of difference.
An awful lot of difference. Awful.
That's the word I was missing out.
That's
lot.
Just a little lot.
Thanks for that.
Little, but a lot.
It is.
I'm going to counter that with Mr. Top 10 himself. I mean, I think Tommy Fleetwood's become a Mr. Top 10,
yeah.
But the ultimate Mr. Top 10, Justin Rose.
Okay.
And John Rahm. Because
so
I think there's a bit of room on the golf course. You can give it a rip off the tee. It's a second-shot golf course. It's going to suit Rahm down to the ground. And yeah. Justin Rose, again, maybe it's back-to-back double defending champions on the European Tour.
Maybe it
could
is.
Be.
And what would be even worse for the listeners, Robert, if it was back-to-back wins for you, Garcia and Rahm or Rose, my goodness, we'd never hear the end of it.
Well, I mean, you read mine out. I never said a word.
No, and I won't be here to,
I went quietly.
To witness.
We'll get you on the phone live in the show. Don't
if you
worry
would
about
do that.
That,
I'd like that.
Yeah, that's it for now. Next week, we will review the WGC HSBC Champions in Shanghai and look ahead to another massive tournament as we get into the final series, the Turkish Airlines Open. Until then, you can stay up to date with the latest news from the European Tour via the website, as well as Twitter, Facebook, Snapchat and Instagram. Richard Boxall, available in all those formats. And do leave us a review if you're downloading the podcast from iTunes. But for now, from Richard, who's gone for...
Tommy Fleetwood and Hao Tong Li.
Me, Robert Lee, has gone for Justin Rose and John Rahm. It's goodbye.